you guys started with your faith, it was with hearing Jimmy Swaggart on television. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, before Jimmy Swaggart, we were certainly believers. We believed in God. You know, we read the Bible from time to time, went to church from time to time, and we certainly believed in God, had a faith in God. But it wasn't deep-rooted yet. You know, it hadn't really taken shape or form until we started watching Jimmy Swaggart. And my brother started watching, and then my dad, then my mom, and then my sister, and myself, and the whole family would literally sit down in front of the television and watch Jimmy Swaggart every Sunday. And that was our church. And we got so into it, and it moved us and touched us so deeply that we committed our hearts and our lives to Christ.
Some of you are sitting back, and I'm talking to Catholics, I'm talking to Protestants, I'm talking to independents, and I'm talking to dependents. You can sit back in that old cold mausoleum that you call the church that doesn't believe in God and doesn't believe in the Bible and doesn't believe in Jesus and doesn't believe in the Holy and doesn't believe in anything. And you can say, well, it's not my responsibility. And you're going to wind up in hell, too. That's blunt, isn't it? But I'm telling you the truth. Make up your mind. I'm living for God. It may cost me my friends. It may cost me my loved ones. It may cost me my job. It may cost me my mama. It may cost me my daddy. They may kick me out of my church. They may turn the lights out on me. I may lose everything I've got, but I've made up my mind. I'm living for Jesus, and I'm going to have victory, and I'm going through all the way. The devil's not going to destroy my soul, my heart, my life. I've made up my mind.
And then went and got involved in a Southern Baptist church locally and started going to church, you know, every Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday night. He got involved in the music worship group, all that stuff. And it really flourished. So Jimmy Swaggart was certainly instrumental in that decision to devote our lives to Christ, for sure.
Yeah. And in that day, people may not have been around to remember or been in church then, but you got to put it in context. There weren't drums on the stage. Nobody was playing electric guitar in church.
Not really.
It was the devil's music. It grew up in that, but yet now it's church worship music, you know. But in the day, you guys had spines to go out and start doing, you know, real rock and roll even. I've seen people kicked out of church in that age for just doing something with rhythm.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And, you know, back then, I remember when we joined, became members of that Baptist church, Southern Baptist church, we were part of the music team, and it was literally a choir, you know, with an organ player kind of leading.
Yeah, big, fluffy, colored orange and yellow microphone windscreens.
Oh, yeah. We had those, and we wore all matching shirts. You know, we didn't have the gowns, the choir gowns, but we had matching shirts. And we were a choir, more or less. There was a guy who played acoustic guitar, but that's as far as we went. And I remember being asked as a young kid to perform a few songs. And I was really reaching for the stars and shaking things up by wanting to perform Sweet Comfort and a few songs from Sweet Comfort Band, you know, because I thought, hey, these guys are kind of rocking. And I remember that was risque, and the congregation members were like, what is this? So, yeah, interesting.
You didn't start out as Striper. You just started out doing Hollywood rock and roll music. And we're Christians, right? What was kind of the evolution of it becoming, I don't think you guys ever termed it as a Christian band, but where it became seen as that?
Yeah, I think Striper is definitely very unique in every way. You know, we became Christians at a young age. I was, you know, when I became a Christian, I was 12 years old, and actually not quite 12. And it got involved in the church. And then soon after that, I joined my brother's band when I was 12, almost 13. And once I joined my brother's band, it was just the regular rock band. It wasn't a Christian rock band. We weren't playing Christian music. We were playing, you know, David Bowie and Hendrix and Aerosmith and all that kind of stuff. And once that journey started, I got involved as I got a little older in playing clubs. I didn't go to church, stopped going to church, started drinking and doing that whole thing, smoking and drinking and try to be cool and act cool and play in all the Hollywood clubs. And I remember being out on the street in front of these clubs when I was, you know, 17, 18 years old, and Arthur Blessett's folks coming up to me with the cross and preaching to me and me not wanting to hear it, you know, at all. I was involved and caught up in my own sinful ways, my own world, if you will, and I didn't want to hear it, but yet I knew what was right and I knew what was wrong. And there was a conviction there, for sure. And then not long after that, when I was 20 years old, and we were Rock's Regime, almost Striper, when Tim joined the band, that's when we rededicated our lives and decided to, you know, dedicate the band to God, focus entirely on our message, representing Christ and, you know, spreading the gospel. And it hasn't wavered since. You know, I'm 59 years old now, and that's the way it's been ever since that time. And there's no looking back, man. I've never thought about doing anything differently for one second, other than maybe getting a different job, you know. yeah. This music world is a tough gig. And, you know, other than that, I've never thought about changing my faith or putting my faith on a shelf or, you know, my devotion to Christ on a shelf whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, I really respect you guys and you. I mean, you've had a lot of projects, been with Boston, you've done solo stuff. But it's more about, to me, it's less about I'm impressed with the music and yours and the band's career and stuff. It's that there isn't the line of Christian and secular. You're just Christian guys doing rock and roll, and you are who you are no matter what venue or environment you're in. Not that it was always perfect, you know, none of us are.
Yeah,
I'll have our seasons. You know, the first time I ran across you, I don't expect you to remember, I had my face behind a camera. I was like 19 doing a video internship at a cable station in Michigan, and we drove to Ohio, and you were touring with Tesla. And honestly, I was just the camera kid, and some guy named Bob, I don't remember his last name, interviewed you, and he interviewed Tesla. And at that age, I heard things Tesla talked about that I didn't know existed in my young, naive Christian ears. But you were always right in that, just being Striper with the Isaiah scripture and throwing Bibles out. And I don't know if I have a question in that other than, you know, I'll mention too, your friends, is that right, with like Stephen Piercy of Rat?
We're friends with a lot of these guys, and not just acquaintances, where our like ships passing in the night, but we stay in touch. Yeah, you know, we each other, and it's I need to know something, or hey, do you know this guy, or hey, man, what are you doing? Let's get together. You know, we stay in touch, and not just Stephen, but so many, and that's really what our ministry is all about. You know, I've gotten some flack over the years for claiming that we're not a Christian band.
Mm-hmm.
And people get all up in arms about that. They don't understand what I'm trying to say when I say that. And it's very simple and very cut and dry in my mind. You know, you have Christian bands. When I think of a Christian band, I think of Petra. You know, I think of DeGarmelin Key. I think of
White Cross.
Right. And reason why I think of those bands is because they literally, they have a certain type of ministry and a way of presenting their message in their music. And it is very Christian. in the sense that, you know, they'll come out, for example, mid-set and pull up a bar stool and sit on it and pull out a Bible and preach for 15 minutes during the set. Striper doesn't do that. We've never done that. I refer to us as a rock band that's comprised of Christians. You know, I don't like the categories. I don't like the terms. I can't stand it, actually. I just think it's silly. I feel like you're either a rock band or you're a country band or you're a jazz band or you're a funk band. What is Christian and satanic? And it's like, if you're a Christian, you're a Christian. You know, and I use this old analogy and people are like, it's been used a billion times, but it's so true. You know, when you're calling a plumber, if you're a Christian household and you want a Christian plumber, is there a category to go look through that says all the Christian plumbers?
Right.
You know, these guys are Christian. These guys aren't. And it's just, it's really weird to me. It's a weird mentality that we've gotten ourselves into. We are Christians, but we're a rock band. We're not a Christian rock band. We're a rock band.
Yeah, you could be an attorney and you don't have to be a Christian attorney. And actually, a lot of the Christian radio that markets like Christian attorneys or Christian plumbers is a little nauseating. Let just people be their trade.
Exactly.
And who they are in their trade.
Do a good job. Be honorable. Be trustworthy. Be respectful. Have dignity. And that's it. You know, and you know, when I say things like this, though, some people are like, oh, my gosh. I can't believe he's saying that. It's really weird to me that they can't grasp what I'm saying. It's so simple. And it doesn't, they think that I'm, or we're, you know, taking a sidetrack path, or we're like sweeping Christ under the carpet, or we're ashamed of our faith by saying something like that. And it's like, gosh, if there is a band that's more bold than Striper, show me who they are in terms of their faith and standing for Christ. I mean, we're as bold as it gets. But I don't like being called a Christian band. I just don't.
Yeah, you're able to play to crowds that would never hear a message.
Yeah.
I don't know how they don't see that. You know, there's other artists that, you know, maybe gone now, but even in a different genres, like Charlie Daniels and different people that were great Christian guys, but they don't have to be Christian artists, but they're just who they are. And they're playing the people that may never make it into a church.
Exactly. And I mean, if you're going to say that, I mean, then you have to go down the list and all the guys that are Christians in rock and roll, you got to call them Christian bands too. There's a lot of them. You know, Dave Mustaine's a Christian. Megadeth a Christian band? I mean, it's
a band with a Christian guy in it.
Yes. And there's a lot of bands like that. And there's a lot of bands where all the guys are Christians, but they're not Christian bands.
Right.
Because they weren't marketed that way.
Yeah.
Even, you know what I'm saying?
Sometimes it's hard to wrap my brain around, but you get around the Alice Cooper, who a pastor advises him, like, the world needs Alice Cooper. And it's hard as a Christian to think, what? That's kind of dark. But he's still out in front of people that no one else would ever get in front of if he wasn't Alice Cooper.
Exactly. And he lets, every time I've heard him speak or seen him speak, he always represents Christ.
Yeah.
He never, ever is a poor representation for Christ. So that's what it's all about. And really, go a step further, it's really about, you know, the cameras are rolling, you can say whatever you want to say, but it's really about, what do you do when the cameras are shut off? That's really what it's about.
Yeah. Striper's been around, what, 40 years? I mean, on and off, but...
Almost 40 years. Next year's our official 40-year anniversary of the Yelp.
On a minimum, you've been doing music that longer than that, and you've been Michael Sweet longer than that. So,
I have been since 1963, July 4th.
So I'm sure you're asked a lot, you know, like, so what? Where's a Striper at now? I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to ask you, where's Michael Sweet at now, you know, as a person?
Well, I mean, I struggle with many things like every other person in the world on the planet today. I have my weaknesses. I have my downfalls, my shortcomings. I'm not perfect. I have concerns. I have fears. But I really try to move onward and upward. It's a favorite saying of mine, my motto, onward and upward. And it's so true. You have to keep moving onward. You have to keep moving upward, or at least trying to. Don't let life and everything that it brings tear you apart and stop the story. You know, keep moving. Keep creating the story and adding to it in with integrity and you know, representing, obviously Christ, representing God, being a light in the dark. That's what I try to be. I try to be the light in the dark. And, you know, I'm just blessed that I'm here almost 60 years old and I'm still able to do it. And, you know, my time, I don't know when my time will come when I won't be able to do it. It could be tomorrow. It could be in 20 years. I don't know. But I never take it for granted, and I'm very happy to be able to still do what I'm called to do on this earth to do. It's amazing.
And if this was Michael Sweet's last day, and I hope it's not, I hope you have 60 more, but 60 more years, not days. What do you hope you'd accomplish? As a human being, as a believer, as a husband or dad or whatever?
Well, I would hope that I always represented my God, you know, appropriately. I know I haven't, but I strive to do so, and I would hope that I have done so. That when people talk about me when I'm gone and they remember me, that they say, you know, you got to give it to him. He always stood his ground. He always, you know, waved that flag of his faith in Christ, and he never wavered from that. And I hope they remember that. I hope they remember that I was, someone that cared, somebody that tried to have a positive effect on the world and on others. And I also hope that they remember that I was real in the process. You know, you get what you get with me, good or bad. You know, there's something that has always turned my stomach, and that is when someone represents themselves one way on video or audio, and then you go and have lunch with them, and they're a completely different person. I don't like that at all. And I try to give you the Michael Sweet you're going to get when you go have lunch with him or dinner with him right here on video and audio. I'm the same guy. I try to be, you know, I just don't like hypocrisy. I don't like people that are double-sided and two-faced. Can't stand it. Can't stomach it. Just be real. Be real with the good, with the bad. People will get it, and people will respect you for that. And I try to be, and I hope people remember that too, that, hey, you know, I might not have agreed with him. Michael likes his bourbon, you know. I don't understand that, but, you know, he was real, and he opened up about it and talked about it. I don't consider myself an alcoholic. I just like bourbon. I like the thrill of trying different, sipping different bourbons and like all the different flavors and everything. And it's just kind of fun for me, you know? But you talk about that as a Christian, look out. You better not. Or smoking a cigar. I like a good cigar every now and then. You do that, you post a picture of that, look out. You're a Christian. You're not a Christian if you're gonna smoke a cigar. You see what I mean? I just try to be real, not a farce.
Yeah, my favorite was growing up that having a drink, having a cigar was wrong, but it was coming from a glutton minister that missed the second part of the scripture about eating too much.
This is exactly right. And it's like, if you go through everything, biblically speaking, you're going to find something for everyone that they need to work on. every single one of us. So that's why we're pointing fingers at this guy saying, what in the world? You know, how can you love this person who's you know, gay and they're this and they're that? And then, but then you go into the person pointing the fingers, private lives, and you're going to find all kinds of muck and crud and junk that they need to work on. You know, and that's the thing. That's another thing that astonishes me is the judgmental attitude. A lot of Christians feel they have the right to judge. No, you don't. You really don't. You have the right to judge yourselves. That's for darn sure. And we all need to start doing just that. Look at ourselves in the mirror and start cleaning up our own dirt. And it's going to take a lifetime to do so.
All right, Mr. Sweet. I appreciate you. Appreciate your time.
Hey, brother, thanks for having me on. And absolutely, I wish we had more time. I have other interviews and whatnot, but maybe we'll talk again soon in the very near future.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, brother.
Hey, thanks. Hey, before you go, I want to let you know, we had a, you may not, do you recall back, I'll let you get next interview, but we had a mutual friend in Greg Fulkerson.
Oh, yes.
I brought him, I was on Way FM in Nashville. And I became friends with him that year. He had just finished, I think, producing your solo album.
Yep, he and I co-produced that first solo album together and co-wrote it. Yeah, absolutely, man.
And I was like, hey, I'm going to see Michael Sweet at a GMA or whatever. And I brought him along one time. Not that you remember me, but I don't know if you remember that. He popped in at a hotel at an interview.
You know, I'm trying to remember. I stayed with Greg. I moved to Nashville for 6 weeks and lived in his house.
Mm.
So I became really good friends with Greg. And Greg had a huge heart and, you know, wrestled with a lot of things like all of us. And sadly, he's gone.
Yeah.
Such an incredible talent.
Just reconnected with him after literal decades on Facebook. And then less than a month later, I start seeing all these, so sorry you're gone. I'm like, what? What?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I think what happened with Greg is just some things in his life got the best of him, you know. And we all have our demons, and he had some demons that he was wrestling with, and it was difficult to overcome. And you know what? It was heart-wrenching when I heard the news of Greg's passing. And it just I couldn't believe it. And he was so young. I mean, mid-40s, maybe, if that. And it's unbelievable, truly unbelievable. But, you know, what a talent. And if people haven't, go check out Greg's work, you know, Blue Tears and all the stuff that he's done. And just amazing talent, man.
All right. Thanks again.
Okay, brother. God bless you. Don't you. Your heart.